after actor Chadwick Boseman died last August at the age of 43 from colon cancer, the world learned about the startling rise in colorectal cancer rates, specifically among men under 45. That's the age when doctors recommend regular screening.
I'm Ibram X. Kendi. I'm 38 years old, and I'm striving to survive stage 4 colon cancer.
You might be familiar with Ibram Kendi. He's a best-selling author and historian on race and racism. Kendi was diagnosed with colon cancer when he was 35 years old. He's now cancer-free.
My name is Paul Rawate. I am 45 years old, and I am currently undergoing treatment for stage 4 colorectal cancer.
Paul Rawate is a marketing consultant from Wakefield, Massachusetts, and he and Kendi were part of a photographic essay in this month's GQ magazine. It's called Scar Stories, The Toll of Colon Cancer. Rawate and Kendi's journey started the same. They both had symptoms, put off going to the doctor, and then when they finally did, colon cancer was the furthest thought from their minds. Neither were over 50, nor had they had a family history. For Ibram Kendi, the only risk factor was his race. Black Americans are 20% more likely to get colorectal cancer and about 40% more likely to die from it. Kendi remembers the first visit with his medical provider.
I shared what was going on. Of course, she asked about my medical history, my age, you know, my family history. And she stated that she did not think that this was anything necessarily serious, but it's important to rule out cancer.
Paul Rawate, who is Asian American, had a similar experience.
I had had an issue with some sleep apnea, but some of that was coming from kind of the weight gain from the blockage of my colon. We weren't quite aware of that when it first started. And all of a sudden, you know, there was this excruciating pain in my lower side. And as we kind of go through it, we spent close to, I'd say, almost 8 or 9 months before I even got a referral to get a colonoscopy.
Ibram Kendi says his reluctance to see a doctor left him feeling angry with himself for not getting checked out earlier.
And I sort of prided myself on being healthy. Like, you know, I was a vegan, you know, I exercised. And when I needed to value my health the most, you know, I didn't. And when I needed to be, to do something that was uncomfortable and get this checked out, you know, I didn't. And I was just very angry at myself. You know, because of that, because I felt like I had been lying to myself.
And you, in many ways, are lucky, Ibram, because you're now cancer-free.
I am. I've also been working through almost like a survivor's guilt, you know, because of my luck. But at the same time, I think that has transferred into almost like a, you know, a survivor's courage, in which I'm trying to use my story to help others and to make some really drastic changes so we can really save lives.
Paul, how do you take care of yourself and be kind to yourself during all of this while also being there for your family?
You know, that's kind of the interesting part of the conversation because they're kind of my driving force behind it. And I have to actually agree with Dr. Kendi on the whole part about the anger, because for me at the time when I got diagnosed, things are going well, your son's about ready to start school and things. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa. You know, we get a diagnosis in July, and that's where I think that's where for me it's been a lot about the anger. And also just from my personal background, I mean, in California, before I had met my wife, I was a pretty good Taekwondo master. So for me, I've been able to use stuff that I've learned from sports and just different things to kind of be able to handle what's going on more emotionally. You know, it does take a toll on my wife and son, because that's where I think the hardest part of this is that trying to be there for your family and then watching them go through the fact that you might not be there in some amount of time or what have you. Because, you know, as we talk about numbers, as of this July, I'm 3 years into this treatment cycle.
I heard you agree with him, Ibram.
Oh, yeah. And especially, you know, about witnessing how difficult it was for them to hear this diagnosis. You know, but at the same time, in many ways, we became closer. My daughter is an example. She's 5 now, but she was around 2 years old when I came from home from the hospital after a major surgery and had all these bandages on me. And ever since then, she loves putting Band-Aids on herself. And so you talk about something, you know, those types of things in which even though you're going through an experience, in that case, you know, recovering from a painful surgery, there's still that sort of humanity and being able to experience that with people who you love and who love you is sort of certainly gave me the drive to want to fight and to want to be healthy.
Both of you are revealing your scars, both literally in the sense of this article with these photos, and then also through your stories. This is an incredibly vulnerable position to be in. Paul, do you have any questions for Ibram?
Just, you know, for me, it's just kind of like, you know, I'm just amazed at how you've kind of done it for so long. So, I mean, you know, what are a few things that you might have done to kind of get yourself kind of set coming out of like maybe the kind of stage of anger and the sense of where, you know, you've kind of progressed, maybe one or two steps you might have taken to kind of transition yourself like that, because, you know, things like that can maybe help me in the long run.
I think what helped just overall has really been, you know, really trying to pin my sort of self to the moment, to the day, to the hour. And so it's almost like, you know, you mentioned sports, like, you know, an offensive lineman has to focus on that first block and then that next block.
Exactly.
In order to be successful, as opposed to, oh, they can't envision scoring a touchdown, right? You know, you really have to sort of focus. I think that's really helped me, you know, along the way.
Thanks. That's well said. And like along the way, since I'm in a stage where I've been close to beating it, but like basically the reality is now I'm on a sixth line of treatment. And this one's working really well now that I'm back on it. But did you ever get to the point where you felt like it was impossible, like you were going to run out of options and you weren't going to get through it?
Oh, yeah.
That's good to know.
And maybe I think this relates to just my work about bigotry, that it's very difficult for many people to believe we could create a world without bigotry. And it's probably impossible. But that doesn't mean we still shouldn't try to do the impossible. And I think
that's right.
I connected those two and I was like, you know, I'm just going to try to do the impossible. I mean, I don't have any other choice.
Right. That's true. I mean, yeah, we don't really have too many options. Either we're going to fight or we're going to give up, right?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned sort of your family, and what I've found is that it just can be very difficult, or not only close family members, but even more distant family members or friends who just don't know how to respond, which is why I decided to just tell very few people, because people were so awkward. I'm just wondering how you experience or how you're experiencing that.
You know, I have to say I follow the same pathway, because part of when I really started to talk about when I first got diagnosed, I was given the advice from someone who had breast cancer. She had mentioned that, hey, get a couple ambassadors and have them kind of spread the word. So it was pretty much open. Like, you know, I've got like friends of my father-in-law who are saying masses for me in Arizona. I've got like, you know, like one of my wife's best friend went to a Buddhist temple in Tibet and did some blessings for me. So I'm getting basically all the good vibes I can. But when it came to my friends in LA, because I'm, you know, I've got a really close knit group of guys from high school, a couple, you know, really good group of friends from college, it's been really hard. It was a kind of a slow rollout. And the hardest thing for people is when they look at me, you cannot tell that I really have stage 4 cancer. So that's been the other kind of reason why we've kind of started to be more open about it, because, you know, realistically, you know, things were getting a little precarious in 2020 for us.
Yes.
Both of you are so generous and being so open and vulnerable. The whole purpose of this, what you all have been doing by sharing your stories, is to get the word out about screening for colon cancer. But going back to the realities, most people can't get this screening until they're 45 years old. Many people don't have insurance. Many people don't have doctors who are willing to give them the tests, even if they ask for it. What is your takeaway as people are listening to this and they say, okay, I'm ready. I'm no longer scared anymore. I'm ready to take that step. But they're stepping into a myriad of other barriers as well.
I just think you just can't take no for an answer. You should also be pushing for larger change within this community so that everyone is screened earlier, so that everyone has access to high quality healthcare.
Well, I think part of telling our story and getting this out there is to make people aware that if they're having similar problems to what they've seen, and the signs that we face before we were diagnosed, that maybe they would just have better information to even ask for that. So I hope stage one for us is to really get it out there and just make people aware of, like, hey, you can look for other things. If you're seeing these signs, go get help. And then after you get help, like, make sure you do everything possible to make sure your mind, your body, and your spirit are all strong enough to battle what you have to battle.
Paul and Ibram, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me as well. And Dr. Kendi, it was a pleasure to meet you. And I wish you all the continued success in your recovery and your journey as well.
Yeah, same to you, Paul. I'm just rooting for you and rooting for health and strength.
Ibram Kendi and Paul Rawate talking about their experiences with cancer. And we have photographs from GQ's Scar Stories at hereandnow.org.